You know what time it is. It's time for Rating the Nerd.
Minisode.
With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grady the Nerd. It's another minisode. Yeah, for Hawkeye, episode 5, a little show with big consequences. It's the tagline for my sex tape. Anyway, episode 5, man, we are on the doorstep to the finale.
We are.
And man, this episode, as much as we talked about last episode being sort of a setup episode, getting everybody in place, this one was action-packed and lots of big moves and shakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So what'd you think of this episode?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I did an audible yes and clap at one point.
Okay. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, it makes me so happy that you're actually enjoying this show, because I knew how much you were dreading it going into it.
Yeah, I was pretty sure it was going to suck.
So we get more of, we're obviously going to jump right into spoilers with Hawkeye. If you're going to listen to our longer episode this week about Spider-Man No Way Home, we will not spoil for a certain bit of the podcast. We'll just talk about our thoughts and feelings about the movie, and then we'll get into spoilers. So
yeah, you'll get a straight up warning.
You will. So feel free to at least start that episode and jump out when you get the warning if you don't want to be spoiled. So, but in this one, yeah, we start out with some hot Black Widow on Black Widow action.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Two girls, one target. It was pretty awesome. we get Yelena and sort of a flashback scene to Yelena and another Black Widow, Helen, maybe? I don't remember. Oh my God, was it Helen? Hold on, I've got to see this now.
Why?
Because Helen was the name of the Black Widow that was fighting in the Fight Club in Shang-Chi.
Oh.
Was that the same lady? No, it was not. It was Sonya, not Helen. Okay, I'm back. It just occurred to me. That's because Helen popped into my head for some reason. I was like, holy shit, was that the same lady? But we see Sonya and Yelena going after Anna, who is a Black Widow, part of their, if you've seen Black Widow at the end of the movie, there is a, they have like a mission to sort of, you find out that the Black Widows have been under some sort of mind control, and they're on a mission to clear them all up. They've got an antidote, which is like a red dust in a canister that they spray in their face, but they have to subdue them to make sure they breathe it in. So we get that. We get them coming to this big mansion and fighting this lady. So a pretty cool like ground level Black Widow fight happening in this mansion. And they end up subduing her and spraying her in the face. And her response is classic, because she's like, what did you do to my rug? And you find out that this lady is not still mind controlled. Like, she's on her own. Like, and they think that she's like basically like a mail order bride or something for somebody rich. And she's like, do you think I live here with somebody? And they're kind of like, well, who owns all this? And she's like, I do. I kill people for money. And I thought that whole scene was pretty funny. Like, she's like, you're pretty good. You probably could do it too. I like that scene a lot.
Yeah.
But what's really powerful is once they calm down, they're all sort of catching up. And we see Yelena go to the restroom to kind of clean off. I can't remember if it's like blood or something, but
she like splashes some water on her face.
Yeah. And she splashes water on her face. And for the first time in the MCU, we see the snap and blip from the point of view of somebody who got snapped into non-existence and then came back with the blip.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, man. It was a crazy cool scene.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
As like she dusts and then reforms immediately from her eyes, or near immediately. And then the world, like, sort of reality starts, like, kind of rebuilding around her to what the new reality is.
Yeah.
That was cool. I really dug that. So that's where we also learned that Yelena was non-existent for 5 years, for the 5 years between the snap and the blip. Yeah, and then we get back into it.
What do you think happens when somebody came back from the blip and someone was standing in the place that they were, you know, snapped out of existence from?
So the Russo brothers actually addressed this because people were like, what if somebody was on a plane and then they come back that the plane's not going to be there? Or what if Earth wasn't in the exact same position it was in when they were snapped away? And, you know, and they sort of said, like, the magic of the stones is enough to not put people inside of solid walls or miles above the earth, not on a plane. You know what I mean? Like, so I guess I'm guessing it's like relative position. Like you go back to closest place you were. So like, were you on a plane? You're in that seat of that plane. If it still exists, you know, even if it's on the ground or in the air again or whatever. But if there's somebody else standing or sitting right where you were, you appear like on their lap or next to them or, you know.
Interesting.
I was laughing because I watched the Weekly Planet review of this with James and Mason, and it's on YouTube. They're hilarious. One of them, they go, so do you imagine that all over the world people were just, when they got blipped back, were reappearing in bathrooms potentially, and there's somebody just sitting there snapping one off? And I love that turn of phrase, snapping one off.
Or worse, what if they were in the middle of banging? And
yeah, in the bathroom.
In the bathroom. 5 years later, you just reappear there.
What if the person that was dusted away, you're saying, or snapped away, was in the middle of banging?
Yes.
Oh, dude, I feel like...
That'd be a surprise for the person who was there for 5 years.
Yeah, right?
Hello!
I feel like just the first part of that is enough to traumatize you, so you would probably never want to bang again. Because could you imagine somebody dusting off inside of an orifice?
Like, dusting just off.
You know, like, oh my God, like, do we have a dirt devil? I've got Frank's ashes inside of my vagina.
Dusting off sounds like what happens in nursing home sex.
Oh man. What happened to you? Were you trying to eat the begonias again, honey? No. Edward dusted off all over my face. He called it a money shot. And it was like I got hit with a load of flour. I imagine old people sex just in the nursing home. It almost sounds like magic happening because as you're walking around, you just keep hearing coming from all the rooms. Oh God, dusting off.
That rather reminds me of Hawkeye.
Yeah. It rather reminds me of Hawkeye. Yeah, so, I mean, we get that. That's all before, like, the intro cards, right? Like, we get the whole Black Widow and Snap and Blip, and then we go into the intro.
Yes.
Yeah,
the preamble.
Yeah, right. So, early in this episode, if you remember, at the end of last episode, Hawkeye had sort of told Kate, like, you can go your own way because
he's like, get lost.
Yeah. He's like, get out of here. I don't love you anymore. Don't you understand? Like We're trying to get friends. Rid of a dog. Yeah.
Go on, get.
and he goes back to Grill's place to see if he can take care of Lucky, the pizza dog, for a little while longer.
Yes.
And then Grills is like, cause he's like, I'm going to stay in a hotel. They don't allow dogs. And Grills is like, oh my God, you're an Avenger. Sleep on my couch. No, you know what? Take my bed. Like, I'll sleep on the couch. And again, Jeremy Renner does a great job of just being playing Hawkeye. Clint is so uncomfortable with the celebrity of it all. You know, like, he's like, he's like, no, the couch is fine, you know, and it's like weirded out by it a little. But yeah, and then at kind of the same time, we get a great interaction with Kate and Yelena. Kate goes back to clean out her burnout apartment, and Yelena's waiting on her.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that scene?
It was a fun conversation.
It really was, right?
She plays the whole, if I wanted you dead, you'd be dead already situation, you know, that right. Old card.
Right. That old chestnut. I imagine that happens in nursing homes a lot, too. I'm not cleaning up your goddamn bedpan again. If I wanted you dead, you'd be dead already. She's trying to kill me. And the families are like, oh, grandma. And meanwhile, it's very much like Happy Gilmore, right? Where like the orderly is like down the hall and only the grandma can see them. And they're like running their thumb across their neck, like, shut up, I'll murder you. Family's like, granny's really losing it. She thinks the orderlies are out to get her. That scene, I really liked that because it was just like fun banter. Yelena, Florence Pugh did a great job of playing the same type of interrogation tactics that we've seen Scarlett Johansson play as Natasha, mm-hmm. but in a slightly different way. So it made me think a lot of like the Loki and Natasha conversation in the first Avengers movie, you know, where she's like within a matter of seconds of talking to him, she realizes that he's full of hubris and he's so self-assured. And then she plays the like, oh my God, like your words are hurting me because I'm a woman, and gets him to spill his plan, you know?
Right.
And I got that same feel, but different, because as you watch this, the longer I watched, I was like, these girls are like bonding a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then toward the end of the conversation, Yelena she doesn't even really switch her demeanor, but she just says, where is he? I really don't want to have to hurt you, you know, kind of. And you're like, oh, fuck, she's been interrogating her the whole time, you know? And I thought that was cool. I just like that turn on a dime of like, yeah, like we're not girlfriends. Like you're not a Miranda and I'm not a Samantha. Like we're right. Like, I will murder you in this apartment if I have to, you know? But it started out, I like too, that Kate's like, you tried to kill me. She's like, I didn't try to kill you. I put a harness on you. I removed a threat from the battlefield, you know, like she's so just like cold and clinical about it all. And I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Good on Florence Pugh, man. She does a great job as Yelena.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. So then they do actually form a little bit of a bond though, because Kate asked her at one point, she's like, so who hired you to kill Clint? And she's like, I don't actually know. You know, like, I like that too. Like, because we saw at the end of Black Widow that, you know, in a tag scene that Contessa LaFontaine Brioche tells her, you know, like, hey, you got a chance to go after the guy that killed Natasha. But we don't really see why she's sending her on that mission, you know? So you kind of get the impression after this discussion that somebody contacted her and said, hey, I'd like somebody to kill Clint Barton. And she just said, hey, Yelena, you want to kill this guy? And then Yelena, though, doesn't really know who hired her, you know? So I like that. I like that whole, you know, 6 degrees of separation of it. Like, you know, I don't, that's a good question. I don't know who hired me, you know? And then later on, she tells her, it was your mama. You know, like she sends her the message like, your mom's the one that hired me. And she's like, which I don't even know that she, well, yeah, she does know, I think, because she puts the two and two together of the last name, you know, but she's like, Eleanor Bishop hired me. And Kate's mm-hmm. like, what? And so, I don't know, man. I thought that was all really cool. That was a cool dynamic that played out in this episode, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely get the feel that, Yelena is not somebody to really mess around with.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So then we get a brief interlude of a couple of the bros again, Ivan and Tomas, in their truck, you know, driving.
Mm-hmm.
And they're discussing how cool their tracksuits are. I like that scene too. These guys are so goofy. I love it. And we see another trick arrow, the like, message for you, sir, arrow. Like, It busted through the windshield, and all I could think was like, do you know how hard of a shot that would be with an arrow for it to not glance off the windshield?
Yeah.
Damn near impossible, I think.
I feel like it, yeah.
Good thing he's Hawkeye. like, if he was just, I don't know, if he was just Jerry trying to deliver a message with an arrow, that's probably not getting to those guys. Have to find him at a stoplight and just hand it to him through the window. Can you have this, take this arrow, please? Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Because, again, it, like, goes through, it almost hits the character Tomas in the face, but it stops, and he's like, ah! And then, like, the little door falls open on the side with the note in it. I don't know. It was silly, but I like that. I like that scene. And it's essentially a message to Echo, right?
Mm-hmm.
To Maya to come meet the first place where she met Ronan.
And it says, I like you. Do you like me? Yes or no?
Yeah. Circle yes or no and fire this arrow back into the abyss. It's okay. I'll find it. I'm always watching you. So yeah, they, so then they end up meeting up, her and Ronan, you know, Clint Barton in the Ronan costume end up meeting up. And, well, how'd you feel about this scene, man?
It's a pretty cool fight. He easily takes out all of the tracksuits in various different areas, including one that was on a roof.
Yeah, like, Kazi's like Batman ready style to snipe. Yeah, and I did like that too. So Kazi in the comics is like this badass assassin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do like what they've done with his character here, because I just think it would have been overcrowded if we would have had another assassin. It would have sort of made the Yelena role. They've almost handed that assassin role over to Yelena a little bit.
Yeah.
But I like that Kazi, like when he sneaks up on him, Kazi's like, no, listen, can we talk? And he just knocks him out. I like that. I thought that was funny. He's like, oh God, sorry. I'm sorry. but yeah, pretty good fight, man, between those two.
Yeah.
You definitely, again, get the skill that Maya has in fighting, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're at Fat Man Automotive this time. Yep. You know, I'm like, this has gotta be it, right? Like, there's so many hints. And so then we go back to, he goes back to Grill's place after the fact. Maya actually cuts him at one point, right? Because she gets the sword away from him.
Yeah, she cuts him, but
slices his arm.
Yeah, something else happens in this scene, though.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He reveals that that there was an order to kill her dad.
That's right.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your boss, he says, your boss ordered your dad to be killed. And she's like, kind of looks at him like, no. And he's like,
yeah,
I know that you have a boss, you know, like, right. I know that you're not the one in charge.
Then it goes to the scene with Kazi where she starts to.
That's right.
She maybe starts to question whether Clint was telling the truth or not.
Yeah.
Because she pieces together like that Kazi was missing from the shop that night.
Yeah, he wasn't at the meeting that they were all having.
That's right, when the Ronan meeting. Showed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was like, I didn't get the call, which he's high enough in the organization that you don't miss calls, mm-hmm. you know? Like,
yeah,
so she kind of takes off and like, yeah, you can tell that she's like starting to realize that like she's been had by these guys. Like mm-hmm. They weren't really on her dad's side for whatever reason, right?
Right.
But yeah, then so she takes off, and then that's pretty much getting close to the end of the episode. There is one more kind of minor thing I'm sure nobody's even going to care about that happens right at the end of the episode. You want to talk about that?
Are you setting this up?
I am.
Okay.
I am. Teasing. That's called building a narrative, baby.
Okay. I'll edit this out.
No, leave it in. It's fine.
Okay. Okay. So they go back to Grill's house. He's doing tricks with Lucky because he's that cool.
Yeah, dude. Grills and Lucky are like best buddies now.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all sitting around the table eating breakfast when Kate gets a text message from an unknown number. And you gather that it's Yelena.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says that she was hired by Eleanor Bishop to do it, and she thought that she should know. And then it's followed by a text message of a photo of her with somebody else.
Right. And Clint goes, yes, that's the guy I've been telling you about this whole time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we finally, here's the thing, he calls him the Kingpin.
He does!
Did they ever actually call him the Kingpin in Daredevil?
I don't know that they did or not. I feel that's my daughter, because she watched it recently.
I feel like they didn't. I feel like they always just referred to him as Wilson Fisk.
Right, right, yeah. And it finally pays off. Like, back from, like, episode one and two, where they say, you know, the Ronin nearly crippled the head of organized crime. Mm-hmm. Because in the comics, Kingpin is always, all the organized crime in New York flows up to one point, and it's always Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
And so, oh, man. That was awesome. Yeah.
And then we get the grainy photo of what looks like Vincent D'Onofrio. And I literally sat at the edge of my chair and just clapped and was like, yeah.
That's awesome. I was so excited. I was like, they did it. They did it. It's one of those things like I get so invested in these things. I'm such a movie geek and comic book geek, and these are my loves coming together, that like, it's like how people, and I've been guilty of this in the past, but you know, people are like talking about a sports team like they're part of it. Like they're like, we're looking pretty good this year. Like, who's we? Are you carrying towels for them? I don't understand. But like, yeah, that's a legitimately, like, you know, I had that feeling of like, we did it. It took us years, but we got there. You know, like I had some hand in it. Like my desire was fueling the universe to make this all come together and transpire. I was like, we did it. I can go on break now. You know, but it was pretty damn cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's it. That's sort of where we cut off. So we still don't know what the watch is all about.
No, we don't. That's one of the things that needs to be wrapped up in the last episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing we're probably going to get to see the full turn of Echo to maybe a hero. I think it would be cool. I'm torn, because I think it would be cool to see her fight just as herself. You know, maybe she does the handprint thing as a reminder to the tracksuits and the organized crime, you know, like in the comics. But also in the comics, for a while, she wore the Ronin suit.
Okay.
So I'd be kind of interested to see her fighting as Ronin, you know, like, I don't know. I'm torn, because I think both would be cool. Yeah, man. They did it. And then they have some badass credits too, because at the very end, you know, the last they go through the like really stylized credits with the David Aja looking drawings and stuff, and then at the very end it's like them on the rooftops, and then just the outline shape of the scene is Kingpin silhouette, you know. Badass, man. And then it was great for anybody who's watched the Netflix series of Daredevil. I don't know if you saw this, Vincent D'Onofrio, after this had time to like get out into the world and everybody kind of knew, he tweeted with just a picture of that final credit scene, right?
Uh-huh.
And he just put, when I was a boy, and I was like, oh my God. Like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Yeah, man. So cool. So damn cool. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I'm pumped about it. It's awesome. I can't wait to see what they do. They've got one episode left. There's a rumor I just read this morning that it is going to be potentially the longest episode of a Disney Plus Marvel show yet.
Oh.
So maybe they're going to actually fit a bunch of stuff into this last episode.
Okay.
You know? I don't know. Did we miss anything else in this episode that really...
No, I don't think so. I think we hit all the highlights.
Okay. Yeah, a killer episode, man. I thought it was another great one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, we just keep going. I do like, there was one other thing I just thought about. When Clint is talking to Maya, I love that he reveals himself to her, but he also says, if you come near my family, you know, like, basically, I will end you. You know, like, you leave them alone. They have nothing to do with this. If you get anywhere near my family, you will be dead. You know, like, he sort of threatens her with that. And I'm like, shit. You know, like, that's pretty hardcore for a family man. I mean, I get it as a dad. You know, it's like, oh, you threaten my kid? I'll burn your house to the ground. you right. know, like, yeah, like I have no qualms about that whatsoever. you know, so I get it, but it was just, it was kind of a harrowing scene, I thought. Yeah, man. Great episode. I'm excited to see how they wrap it up next week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sounds good. We'll have to see what happens next week. Let us know if you got any crazy theories or anything, and we'll have to see if what pans out.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we were going to talk news in this and we didn't do it up top. Do you want to talk about news now?
Yeah, let's dig in.
All right, cool. So I got some news stories this week. It's been tough because most news stories are like Spider-Man, but there's still a fair amount of stuff. Yeah, let's dig into it. As per usual, I'll start with Marvel, I'll move to DC, and then I'll hit the miscellaneous at the end. So first bit of news, I will say no spoilers, but it is Spider-Man related. Kevin Feige had an interview with the New York Times this week in which he said, Amy Pascal and I and Disney and Sony are talking about, yes, we're actively beginning to develop where the story heads next, which I only say outright because I don't want fans to go through any separation trauma like what happened after Far From Home. He said that will not be occurring this time. and for those who don't remember, that was when the contract ended, was after Far From Home between Sony and Marvel. And there was a hot minute where they almost went their separate ways. Sony was going to just take Spider-Man back to their universe and like not be involved with the MCU anymore. And, you know, fans and people involved in the movie and even Tom Holland reached out to both parties and were like, you know, you gotta keep this together. Like, this doesn't make sense not to do this. And they ended up working out something. So I thought it was funny that Kevin Feige, right, hot off the heels of, or, you know, the week of the new Spider-Man movie, was like, all right, I just want to get this out there now. I don't usually talk about what's upcoming that we're still in this early stages, but we are working on another Spider-Man with Sony. Everybody calm down. You know, I like that. I was like, that's pretty cool though.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got that bit of news, which is good for Spider-Man fans and MCU fans. Next in the MCU, the Shang-Chi director, Destin Daniel Cretton, I think is how you say his name. Might be Cretton.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's Cretton. So it might be Mike Cretton. Cretton.
Cretton. There we go.
Yeah, Cretton. Who did the first one? He's returning for the sequel to write and direct.
Okay.
And so he was asked which Asian actor he would like to be a part of the sequel. And I love his response, and I'm here for it. He said, I mean, if we could ever get Jackie Chan into a movie, that would be a lifelong dream of mine.
I was almost jokingly said Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Oh, man. If they could get Jackie Chan into any role in the MCU, I would sit forward on the edge of my chair, clap my hands and say, yes. No, that. Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I mean, we talked a lot about how a lot of the martial arts even felt Jackie Chan like in the first Shang-Chi. Yeah, yeah. So,
man, I would love that.
Yeah. Destin Daniel Cretton, if you can do that, Marvel, if you can do that, you know, powers that be, God, angels, if you can convince this to work, I'm in for it. And then in the last bit of Marvel news, this is comic book related, but I wanted to bring this up because given the timing, it seems weird. We have Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness coming out in March, I believe. Might be May. It's coming out soon. It's the next MCU movie. Marvel has just wrapped up a recent event in the comics called The Death of Doctor Strange.
Oh.
Yeah. And they just revealed this week who will become the new Sorcerer Supreme following the death of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Which I thought was weird. They are going with Clea, which there have been rumors even that she might be in the new movie. She's a sorceress and actually like an apprentice and longtime love interest of Doctor Strange in the comics.
Okay.
And so there's been rumor that like, you know, which I mean is like not even anybody like grain of salt. Like people just like, I think Clea is going to be in it. You know what I mean? Like that's the rumor. But I think they're actually married in the comics. So she is becoming the new Doctor Strange, because that's her last name now, and the Sorcerer Supreme in the comics. So it would be interesting if they bring her into the movie and stuff. But I just thought that I found that kind of interesting that they just did a Death of Doctor Strange series, yeah, knowing that his movie is coming out relatively soon, you know?
Yeah.
It is funny, though, because you think about, like, at least I think about the fantastical elements of the Marvel Universe and then ground street-level things like Hawkeye. They feel so almost like two separate worlds, you know what I mean? Like, how are you a street gang when there are people throwing spells around and gods coming down? You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
But it is funny because in this quote I read, it says, when she's not fighting off the magical gangsters of the Blasphemy Syndicate or battling undead super monsters, she's going after what's hers, the late Stephen Strange. So maybe she's trying to find a way to resurrect him. But I just like that, like magical gangsters. And I'm like, yeah, that would be, that kind of stuff would intrigue me, I think, to tie those two together. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, what happens if you're a street gang and you report up to Kingpin just because he's got all the money, but you know how to use magic, you know, like, mm-hmm, be pretty crazy. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. All right, on to DC news. So we've got a rumor for Shazam Fury of the Gods. Have you seen, ooh, the first Shazam?
No.
You haven't?
No.
I actually really liked it, man.
It looks like hot garbage.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that he's a lesser appreciated DC character, but I really like Zachary Levi. So
yeah,
we went.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't? That's no. Shocking. but we. You're like, oh, I heard that he farted and didn't say excuse me one time.
Yep.
He's a piece of shit.
I read that on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I really like him. So we went and saw the first one. It's actually pretty good. I really dug it, man. It suffers a little bit from the DC, like, just throw gray CGI monsters at people,
yeah,
you know. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty good. So anyway, there's a rumor, though, that the sequel that's coming out, Fury of the Gods, there's a rumor that it's going to have a cameo appearance from Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, I heard she's doing another Wonder Woman.
She is. Hopefully it's better than 1984.
Oof, man, that was rough.
Oh, my God.
That was a rough film. That was our first episode that came out this year.
Was it really?
Yep.
Yeah, because it came out right before Christmas last year, maybe even on Christmas, because I remember I watched it with my family because everybody was still locked down, and my sister and her husband and my niece had COVID, we found out, and then my sister and brother-in-law had been in a car with her for hours, so we all separated,
mm-hmm,
you know, for the holidays. We usually get together for Christmas, and my other niece, their other daughter, who lives alone, so that my nieces are adults, ended up, like, we were like, well, you can come over and hang out with us, and so she did, and I was like, we should watch the new Wonder Woman. It came out, and we did, and then afterwards, I was like, sorry, everybody, that I asked you to watch that movie with me. Like, I really wish I hadn't. So, yeah, hopefully it's better than that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Empire Magazine has given us some new covers of the new Robat Batten Bat Batten Man and Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman.
Yeah.
I will say what you want about Batten Bat. He's a pleasant looking fella. I don't know about the My Chemical Romance eye makeup and hair that we've seen in a lot of the trailers, but but then I was like, and Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman, yes, please. So yeah, good on her for just everything, really. I mean,
I don't know, man. Dude, I am not excited about this film.
I'm really not either, man. I don't know why. Like, I'm hoping it's good, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm just having trouble getting into it.
I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah.
I like Batman too, but yeah, I don't know. They haven't done anything good with Batman in a while.
Right. Right. I don't know, man. I'm having a hard time getting into it as well. I feel like it's like they just keep going back to that same well, you know, like it's just like, hey, put Batman back on screen. And, you know, they're like, Riddler. We haven't really done Riddler since Jim Carrey. And then they're like, who else haven't we used in a really long time? How about Catwoman? She's in every incarnation of Batman ever to be on television or film.
Mm-hmm.
And Penguin. You know, I'm like, all right, we get it. Like, just. And then now that, you know, we talked last week, there's a rumor that Joker might be in it. I'm like, I get it. Like, he's a cool character or whatever, and he's psychotic.
It just feels like they're throwing everything at it.
Yes.
And yeah. it's all of like the top tier villains. It's none of like the more obscure fun ones.
Right, which I think I would be more into. Like yeah. give me a Clayface. Like, you know, because you haven't really done Batman versus like somebody who's actually superpowered, you know.
Right.
Or
right.
give me a fucking Condiment Man. Like in not as the main villain, but in an opening scene, like some guy down on his luck who found out how to shoot ketchup and mustard out of guns and it blind people and stuff, and have Batman just beating the shit out of him being like, come on, guy. You know, like I would love that. I don't know, man. I'm hoping. I mean, Matt Reeves is a good director and stuff. He's the one doing it, so we'll see. But I'm like, I don't know. So let's see. Other DC news. Other DC news that I'm like, I guess. About The Flash movie. In a recent interview on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Ben Affleck, he was asked, he's in a new movie called The Tender Bar.
Okay.
And George Clooney's in it. And so Jimmy Kimmel asked him like, hey, is Clooney in the new Flash movie with you? You know? And he was like, if he is, he hasn't told me. It's possible. Clooney may be very guarded. He's like, as far as I know, he doesn't want to return to that level height of cow ears, but I don't believe he's in the Flash movie. And then he said, but then again, I didn't even see Michael Keaton, so maybe Clooney is there. So, you know, I mean, obviously they're both like smaller roles in the Flash movie, but I think it's funny that they didn't even see each other on set like at all.
Yeah.
So we get that. And then let's see. Lastly, as far as DC news, we talked a while back about a Blue Beetle movie that was coming to HBO Max.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it is no longer set to be an HBO Max release. It's now hitting theaters on August 18th, 2023.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Blue Beetle really that big of a name that people are going to be like, oh, it's Blue Beetle. I want to see that.
There will be some people who are like, hey, he's my favorite character.
Yeah. Those are like the mega nerds.
Right. Right.
It's not like Batman. It's not like Superman. Right. He's right. Not top
I don't think
tier
it's got,
hero.
I don't think it's got general audience appeal. It's going to be very tough to get that pull. Also, I mean, the guy playing him, I'm going to butcher this name because it's X-O-L-O is his first name. Zolo.
Okay.
And then his last name has a tilde over something. So Zolo Maridueña.
Good job.
Thank you. He is, he's from Cobra Kai, which that show's awesome, but, he's playing, Jamie Reyes, who's Blue Beetle. He's not like Zachary Levi at least has such a big geek following that when you put him in something like Shazam, I feel like me, there's a lot of people that are just like, I love Zachary Levi. I'll go see that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just don't feel like this guy's name carries that star power to like right. pull people in, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. I just don't, I'm with you. I don't think it's got the legs to really
we'll see,
grab the populace.
It feels like it's going
to
tank.
Right. Right. So anyway, we'll have to wait a while though, cause it's August 18th, 2023 is the projected release date. So,
okay.
So, let's talk miscellaneous now. So we'll start with coming up soon. We got the Book of Boba Fett, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we, they said Robert Rodriguez, who's the showrunner on that, has stated that the trailers that we've gotten have only featured footage from the first few minutes of the series. And his quote was, we can't use the second half of the first episode because it gives too much away.
Huh.
And so he's like, things turn up you don't expect. You see things we couldn't believe we got to do. Every episode has big surprises. So literally the trailers we've seen so far are only from like the first minutes of the first episode. So So I'm excited about that. I'm like, cool. I like a show that's throwing twists and turns and surprises at me. And then let's see. Matthew Vaughn, the director of the Kick-Ass movies, has confirmed that a quote unquote fucking nuts reboot is coming in 2 years.
Oh, Jesus.
So, So, yeah. So he said, we've got a big reboot of Kick-Ass in 2 years. Big reboot. It's so fucking nuts that I can't talk about it. But we've got that ready to go. All the rights revert back in 2 years. And then we're going to reboot it where people will be like, he is insane. Okay. So I liked the first Kick-Ass movie. The second one was okay, not quite as great, but I like the comic too. It's a fun idea of like, what if this guy who's kind of obsessed with comic books, you know, was like, I'm going to try to be a hero, you know, and he's really like, he's just a guy. And, you know, he ends up getting battered and beaten and stabbed and everything and almost dying. And yeah, so I don't know. I enjoy it. So we'll see. But, you know, 2 years, again, 2 years. So we'll find out in 2 years if that's any good or not. Right.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what comes of that. Again, it's 2 years. So and that's it. That's all I've got for news this week.
All right. So. That's the news.
That's the news. Send news. Anyway, all right, man. Well, I think that about does it for this this mini-sode.
All right.
Cool. I'll talk to you later.
All right, later.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.